Welcome to today's episode of Watchful
with Bethy Hernandez
and Sophia Ritter.
Two cousins talk movies and TV.
Basically, if it's entertainment related, we got you covered.
Today we're discussing The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
So this show is currently nominated for 20 Emmys. It's one of the highest comedies like ever to get that many. And I've been telling you to watch it forever, and you finally watched it. So it's the perfect time. So what was your first like instinct reaction when you finally checked out this show?
Okay. Well, first off, you had been telling me to watch this show for, it seems like years. It probably hasn't been years, but for a long time.
Been a couple of
and
years.
And I've always wanted to watch it because it genuinely looks like my kind of thing, like a period piece, you know? And so as soon as we got Prime and you reminded me that Mrs. Maisel was on Prime, I watched it pretty much right off the bat with my sister, and we both fell in love with it because it's kind of our type of humor, our type of like just show in general. So I was very, it's one of my favorite recommendations you've given me. So
yeah, as soon as you had Prime, I literally wasted no time. Like, okay, but so now you can watch Maisel and you'll love it.
And that was great. And straight after like watching maybe a couple episodes, my sister and I told my mom, you have to watch this. And she is like behind us. We finished all three seasons. But my mom keeps texting me updates every night, and it's the sweetest thing. But yeah,
it's definitely a feel-good escapism.
Yeah. Family-type show to watch, but also, I don't know.
A little bit older family type.
Exactly.
Okay, so before we completely dive into Maisel, I thought we would do our media picks of the week. So do you have a media pick for me?
Yes. So I actually had trouble choosing a media pick of the week for once because I've been bored in college, because all of my classes are online, so I've been watching a ton of different media things. But I went with Pose, which is a Ryan Murphy production on Netflix. You can't tell, I've watched a lot of Ryan Murphy stuff, but my great uncle told me to watch it, and I heard, I forget who else, oh, one of my teachers told me that it was a good show, so I decided to check it out maybe like 3 days ago, and I really like it so far.
I might actually check that out because I didn't think it looked that good, but I hadn't heard anything about it. So hearing good things, maybe I'll check it out.
It's way better than you would think. Like, I don't know, like your initial thought, because I didn't really know what it was about, to be honest. But then just like starting to watch it, it's a really good quality show, good production quality and good message and everything.
So I almost didn't even have a media pick of the week because I've had an interesting week. And so I'm like a journalism student who's doing a lot of stuff for the election. So I've been hyper focused on that kind of stuff. So my media pick of the week is just a late show with Stephen Colbert, his like live response to the convention, like after each night. I don't know. It's because I haven't been able to get myself to watch certain things this week because I couldn't stand the concept of watching it. And so like instead I just watch his like rundown of what happened or one night he literally was like, you know what? I can't talk about this because there's worse things going on in the world than these people acting like nothing is happening. And it was just, it's gratifying and a little relaxing to see that someone else is like stunned and shocked and just feels the same way you do. Well, you probably, I don't know if you have the same feelings I do, but yeah.
Exactly. That's a good media pick for right now. And especially in these times, it's just really hard to find media that is sending the right message and focusing on the right things. So
exactly. All right. So now that we got our media picks over with, do you want to dive into our character chat?
Yes. So I was writing notes for this and I found it kind of hard because a lot of the characters in this show I just love because they are written so well. And there's not a lot to say about it, but I feel like we're going to bond over our shared love for certain characters. So
we definitely probably love the same ones.
Yeah. Do you want to start with lower key characters or start with like Midge?
I really don't care.
Okay. Let's just start with Midge then.
All right. Yeah, I have Midge first. So our Mary and Maisel.
Yes.
So basically when you're introduced to Midge, she's just this uppity New Yorker who's so in love with her life, you know, and then everything quickly falls down. And the thing I love about Midge is she's, like, the most incredibly type A character ever.
Yeah.
And it's not like a flaw for her. It's just her, and she embraces it and she loves it. And I don't know. It's just such like a part of who she is. And it's just hilarious and fun to watch how extra this woman is.
Yeah. I love her character because she's relatable. Mm-hmm. She's imperfect. And like, she just has growth, and it's not like a forced character on you. Like, you mm-hmm. know, she's kind of a simple character, but that's just part of who she is. And I love that. Exactly. She doesn't have to be like quirky and like, you know, but she has her own little things. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why, but I just really appreciate that writing because it makes her very relatable. It doesn't make mm-hmm. her seem like she's some superhuman, you know?
Exactly. I really like how you use the term simple, because I'd never thought of her that way.
Yeah.
But when you really look at her, like, character development, they start her out as, like, a basic, simple mm-hmm. woman who thinks she has everything she wants. And then, like, as she goes off and discovers her own thing, everything becomes more complicated. She becomes more complex.
Exactly. So that's
a really good point. Like, she starts out, like, simple, and then, like, she really grows so much, and it makes sense, actually, with that character. It's just not, like, the character becomes better written over time.
Yeah, I honestly, when I was watching it, I kind of assumed that the growth would be faster, like her character growth and development mm-hmm. and like her realization of how she doesn't want to be with her husband anymore and stuff like that. I thought it mm-hmm. I thought it'd be like shorter because shows typically tend to rush that. And I thought it'd be like one realization and like of comedy doing it once and then realize, oh, this isn't how I want my life anymore, you know? But mm-hmm. instead, it took several times, several different, like, instances to make her realize that. And it's still happening throughout the show, which I really love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you definitely see her fail a ton and just make really stupid decisions.
Oh, it makes it all the more satisfying when mm-hmm. she does do good. It makes it one of the best episodes of the season when she does good, you know? It makes a difference.
Exactly.
Instead of just all the time doing good or all the time doing bad. It's realistic.
Now, I don't want to sound, like, cringy when I say this, but one of the things I wanted to highlight was, like, her role as a mother, because I actually mm-hmm. think it's really interesting, because I think the character is supposed to, like, love her children and everything, but I think we're also supposed to kind of get that she had kids because that's what, like, everyone in her society did, and it definitely, I don't think it was ever really front and center of what she thought she actually wanted. And it's kind mm-hmm. of like, she's kind of a horrible mother.
It's reflected in the show, like how much she ignores her kids, basically.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like when she was married, mm-hmm. she was almost not as good as a mother as she is now, like currently in the
exactly.
show. I think she actually improved when she was on her own and realized mm-hmm. she could raise her kids the way she wanted to. And she started actually being the one who raised her kids instead of, like, the maid, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's interesting how it kind of worked out the opposite for her.
Yeah.
Than people
that is
expect.
Interesting. I hadn't thought of it that way, but you're definitely right. And I think the fact that she let someone else take care of her children that much kind of shows that she wasn't as happy in that life as she thought she was.
Exactly. She probably just didn't feel, like, capable or didn't feel, like, that's the mm-hmm. life she wanted. And then once she had the life she wanted, it seems like she's growing more so into the role of mother and realizing, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely in the third season, I think. When she went on the road, ironically, I think it really, her character as a mother greatly improved.
Yeah, because I felt a sense that she cared more about her kids and, like, missed them and wanted them to know that, mm-hmm. like, she loved them even though she was gone and stuff. And I thought that was really sweet.
Yeah, and I know I'm this, like, 21-year-old girl, but it definitely does a good job of highlighting, like, just every woman, I feel like, has this issue that they think mm-hmm. about for years. Like, you want to have kids, but you also want to have a super successful career, and it's just, it's challenging, but she definitely is growing, so it's cool to see.
Definitely.
So, moving on with Midge, I think the best part of her character is her dynamic with Susie.
Oh my goodness. Don't even get me started on Susie. I love Susie.
I love Susie.
With all my heart.
Their dynamic, when they're, like, together, it really carries the entire show. They're just, they're such an interesting contrast to each other. It's just so much fun to watch. And, yeah, so let's just go into Susie completely.
Yeah. It's funny because during one of the seasons, when Midge and Susie were kind of in a fight, the show just wasn't as good because they weren't together. And it was, like, sad. So that just speaks on behalf of how amazing their dynamic duo is and everything.
Yeah. Because I actually think... I think the third season was really good, but I don't feel like it had some of the magic of the first two.
Yeah.
And I think partly is because they separated their characters too much.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point where you were just really missing that dynamic. And so I really hope in season four they kind of embrace that again and put them together more. Because I feel like... I watched season three a long time ago, but I feel like you're always kind of just wishing they were together more.
I think it was, like, more realistic, technically, in season three, the fact that Susie had another client and the fact that they weren't together all the time. But that's honestly not what the, like, audience wants, and I think they probably realized that because by the end of season three, spoiler alert, they got that rid of the whole plot line of traveling with Shy Baldwin. Which was really the thing that was... I think it was a good storyline, but I think it was bringing down the show. So I knew that storyline was going to have to end somehow. So I wasn't actually shocked when they left with that, like, cliffhanger of, oh, no, you can't tour with us anymore.
Yeah. Because, like, I really appreciated his character, but I definitely agree with you that it was, like, a good idea, and it felt like it should work perfectly for the show, but... In the end of the day, it just didn't feel as much like the magic of the show we are wanting.
Exactly. Anyway, sorry, that was a little off topic from Susie, but I just...
No, you're good.
I was thinking about that. What do you think of Susie as a character, like, by herself? Because normally you think of her in terms with her friendship with Midge. But how do you think of her as, like, an individual person? Because that... I always find that part interesting.
You know, it's one of those things where you don't think about it too much because you just, they're a group in your head, almost like a couple.
Yeah.
I don't, because she definitely makes the most, like, decisions on the show that you disagree with. Like, because, you know, she has, like, a gambling problem and.
Yeah.
And I agree with her taking Sophie Lennon as a client, but how she managed it wasn't the best, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, you just always empathize with her. You know, she's just, like, this person who's really, like, low on luck but has always seemed to work hard and has just been, like, beaten down and been stuck in the bottom class forever.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, you're always rooting for her. And she is so, like, confident and, like, a powerful woman. It's just, she's awesome.
Yeah. That's basically what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. Is, like, you see her making these bad choices, but you see how much... She cares about making the right choices and trying to do what's best for Midge. And so I think that's why everyone just loves her. Also, like, not to mention, like, she is, like, so funny herself, you know? So
funny. Like, just, she's actually the funniest character, I think.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. I find it interesting. And then in other terms of just looking at Susie as, like, a character, you kind of, like, wonder what made her so harsh. And I think it's just, like... I don't think you're supposed to look that deeply into the characters on the show, but I find it interesting that they paired Susie, who's probably had her life very hard, with Midge, who hasn't. And it just...
That's been everything given to her.
Yeah, that's why it makes the duo work so much.
Mm-hmm. And one thing I actually did like, I don't remember if it was... I think it was mostly season three, was when they kind of brought in some stuff of her family and you kind of saw more of her background story. I did really appreciate that part.
Yeah, because it had her mother died, didn't she?
And, like, they blew up her house or boat or something. Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. They set the house on fire to get insurance money. Yeah,
that's what it was.
Yeah. I liked having, like, an introduction to Susie's family, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
It was cool.
And also, Susie's just such an innovative businesswoman. Like, the things lengths she goes to for her client is just truly amazing, and she's, like, so smart and capable, and I don't know, she's awesome.
She's underestimated, and I like how in, like, the first couple episodes of the show, you don't even realize she's gonna be a big part in it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, at least I didn't. Like, exactly. I just thought, oh, she's one of those side characters that everyone's like, ha ha, said one funny line, and then she started being in it more. I was like, yes, this is the content I came for.
Yeah, because, like, my exposure to the show was, it was after season one, the mm-hmm. Emmys after their first season. They, like, won everything. Like, they yeah. swept the comedy category, basically. And so I saw her acceptance speech, and we're like, okay, this show has to be, like, amazing or something.
Yeah.
So, like, her acceptance speech was so weird and iconic that I instantly knew, like, that character was someone I was going to want to watch for when I checked out the show.
Exactly. I cannot wait for the Emmys this year. I don't know how they're doing them. Obviously, yeah. some virtual thing or something.
Yeah, I think it's something virtual.
I'm excited.
Funky. Hopefully it's shorter.
There's so many things that are, like, that I watch that are nominated, which just, mm-hmm. I actually have something to root for, it feels like.
Yeah.
So, should be interesting.
Okay, one of the last things I want to say about Susie before we move yeah. on is that this girl has the most iconic bits on the entire show, and I'm mainly talking about her walking around with a plunger.
Plunger. Pamela. Plunger. Pamela. Excuse you.
I forgot her name. I'm sorry. It's just, that's honestly, like, my favorite joke in the entire run yeah. of the show, because I just love how she just embraces the fact that people look at her like that and uses it to her advantage. It's just genius and hilarious.
I just love how she has no shame. Like, she's not afraid to do anything like that. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny. And I told my mom about that bit before she watched the whole Catskills part. And I was just like, there's this really funny part. Be on the lookout for it. And she definitely texted me. And yeah. she was just like, I love the plunger.
Yeah, because my sister watched it, like, faster than me, and she's like, have you gotten to the plunger? I'm like, what the hell are you talking yeah. about? Yeah.
If you haven't watched the show yet, you'll know when you you'll see know. It.
Okay, I think we should move on to yeah. the next character now. Who did you want to speak on next?
I had Joel next.
I did too, so nice.
Okay, so my notes, I say, me don't like ye. Because I'm not a big fan of Joel.
Interesting.
I don't... Because he was just such a jerk in the first couple episodes, and I can't get over that. I think a lot of shows try and redeem characters who have mm-hmm. that kind of, like, jerk personality sometimes. And
yeah.
I just can't get over my past hatred. Some people can, but I just can't. His character is obviously getting better, and I think he is mm-hmm. learning things about just his place in the world as a man and how, like, how he was mistreating Midge in their relationship, basically. I think he's starting to realize stuff like that, but I don't know. I can't get over that. I do like he's starting to have that, like, serious relationship with that Anna May girl, though. I like that yeah. storyline. Because that does give room for legit growth that I can get behind, you know?
Mm-hmm. So, I think this is interesting because we have very different thoughts on this character.
Really?
Which rarely happens, I feel like. So, I personally like Joel, but the first season, I obviously didn't care for him. But in mm-hmm. the first season, he was nowhere near as big a part of the show, I feel like.
It's true.
And I really appreciate how they did that. Like, they set it up. So, like, the focus was completely on Midge, mm-hmm. and then over time, they, like, grew his character and brought him in more. Because at first, you didn't really care for him. He was the cheating idiot.
Yeah.
But over time, you see, like, there were so many cracks, and obviously, I'm Team Midge, but I have, you've seen him grow a lot, and he's honestly, like, a pretty good father. And, I don't know, he's really innovative, and I just really yeah. appreciate that. He realizes he messed up with Midge, I think, and, mm-hmm. like, he can't ever fix it completely, but he still wants what's best for her. And I also love his relationship with, what's her name?
I think it's Anna May, I think.
Anna May. I think it's really sweet, and I just love their dynamic together, and I hope we get to see more of that. And I also just, I really appreciated the nightclub storyline.
Yeah.
So, I mean, a little bit different than you, but I think it's interesting.
I was starting to like his character more mm-hmm. until Anna May helps him get, like, the liquor license for his yeah. club. And he was mad that, like, she helped him mm-hmm. because he doesn't want, like, a woman to hold any, like, power over him in his life. And I think mm-hmm. that is what pissed me off because that's what he did with Midge. And so yeah. he's like, well, because I remember distinctly in the first season, he's like, you can keep doing comedy and keep talking about me, but if you do that, we can't be together anymore because I can't see you succeed when I'm not, like, when I'm not. And I just think that's so dumb. And I thought, oh, he's gotten past that. And then he did the same exact thing. But obviously, he kind of made up with, he made up with both of them over this. But I just think, I just need to see some further growth from him before I can respect him enough.
That's a fair point.
Because I think it's so dumb that he brings others down just for doing better than him. Like, that's just dumb. Or, like, helping him. That's so dumb.
No, it definitely is dumb and frustrating. I kind of forgot about that, honestly. And, yeah, it's definitely a good point because it is kind of his fatal flaw. And I think you're starting to see him realize that it's kind of his fatal flaw, which I think is actually the growth that you see in his character in that season.
I mean, but he wouldn't be a good character without a flaw to talk about in the first place, but still.
One thing I wanted to touch on before we completely end Joel is they've done a lot of, like, almost bringing their characters back together at different points in the series. Do you see any chance that you think they'll actually put the characters back together at the end?
No. I saw when they got back together, I think it was at the end of the first season or something. Knew that one wasn't going to last. I don't like it when they're together. I don't know why. I just don't. And I think they've just moved so far beyond that, that what's the point of bringing them back together? I can see them bringing up new relationships for both of them, though. Which, I mean, I think it's kind of dumb that they feel like they need relationships, but at the same time, they need a little bit of a storyline to keep the show going, so.
Yeah, I could see them doing it, but I hope they don't, is basically my feelings on it.
Exactly. And this show is made by the creators of Gilmore Girls. And
oh, yeah, I saw that.
That, which is, like, kind of makes sense once you think about it, because the show's plot is kind of, like, slower, it's less focused on just, like, big giant plot twists and more focused on, like, the characters and relationships and stuff. So I really don't know what to expect out of the relationships and getting back together and stuff, because Gilmore Girls does a lot of that, so if it's any bit similar, then, which it is.
Characters I haven't watched Gilmore Girls, so.
Get together and break up and all that jazz.
All right. So, do you want to talk about her parents?
Yeah, I don't have much to say on them, but I'd love to talk about them.
Yeah, I don't have a ton to say either, but basically, I just think they're hilarious dynamic. And I think her mom is basically just, like, a more extreme version of Midge at the beginning of the show. And you basically, you watch her see that, like, through her daughter, like, actually being able to do what she wants, she realized she might have actually been able to, even though she thought she had it conformed to society. And you see her kind of regretting that. And I think her full Paris plotline, I think it's interesting. I don't know if I love how they did it that much.
But I liked it.
Definitely appreciate it, if that makes any sense.
And how she went to art school for a little bit.
Yeah,
that was sitting cool. in on the art classes. And then she realized that she could kind of make a business out of, like, setting people up on dates and stuff. Like, I
That's great.
How she's realizing that she can do things, too, especially since Abe lost his job. And she's realizing, oh, I could be the person to provide for this family, maybe. She just is trying to figure out how, you know?
Like, I don't need to rely just off my husband forever.
Yeah. And speaking of Abe, he's hilarious. Oh my God, like, he's so great. You start off this, like, first season just barely knowing anything about his character, thinking he's just kind of grumpy old man character, but he gets so much better. There's so much more, I don't know, complexity in his character. And he seems like such a dad character. They nailed it. They just nailed it right, perfectly.
All the funky dad vibes. Going strong. I just love them bickering alone, like, not like a specific plot point, just them bickering is just...
And her parents have, like, big faults, obviously, but...
Especially Abe, like... I don't, was it season two or three? I'm sorry, they blend together, it's been a while since I watched it, but...
Two. that you're talking
about. When he quits his job, it is really frustrating, and you're just like, why?
Yeah. Or when he's telling, like, Midge that comedy's, like, dumb and she's mm-hmm. bad at it, you're just like, wow, just, way to be a good father figure.
He's just, like, he can be so selfish, and it's very frustrating.
But again, they need to make these characters dynamic for the show.
Oh, no.
But...
And the fact that it is frustrating makes it more entertaining,
honestly. Exactly. Exactly. I just feel like I have to bring up that point every time, like, I...
Yeah.
Like, hate on a character is... There's normally... Means there's good writing.
Yeah. Honestly, that is all it is most of the time. Is there any other characters you want to talk about before we go into more technical elements?
I don't think so. I think the other characters are good, they're fun, just unnecessary. So, yeah. To talk about, at least.
Yeah, to talk about. So, I know you are a big fan of the costumes on the show. Yes. So, you want to start off our conversation on that?
Okay, first off, I think, okay, this is really weird, but my sister texted me a couple days ago, and mm-hmm. she was like, did you know that our great uncle knew the costume designer for Mrs. Maisel? Yeah, that
is so cool.
And I was like, wait, what? And I started freaking out because, obviously, like you mentioned, I love the costumes in this show. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty cool. I actually haven't talked to my uncle since she, like, sent me this or anything because I've been in college. But I'm definitely mm-hmm. going to bring that up next time I see him. Yeah. But if we're just talking about the costumes in general, I love how the show just wouldn't be the same without them. That in exactly. itself speaks a lot to the quality of the costumes.
The costumes are definitely eye candy for the show. They just, mm-hmm. them alone are so entertaining to watch, and just how they move in them and just how much they flow with the characters and stuff like that is so fun.
And the fact that they're actually historically accurate, mm-hmm. oh my God, you have no clue how happy that makes me. I get into weird things such as, like, mm-hmm. costume design and how accurate it is, and that's one of the things that I think is important to a show depending on what the show's about. For this show, it really sets the scene for it to be accurate. Mm-hmm. And I also like how the costumes set the tone for the show too, because of the bright and fun colors kind of.
Okay, so one thing I really appreciate about their costuming is their balance of color.
Yeah.
And the colors, just, like, every extra in every scene, they seem to, like, have been well thought out mm-hmm. and, like, how they layer the colors and stuff. And Midge's wardrobe is always, like, the most, you always have your eye drawn to whatever she's wearing. Yeah. Even when she's in, like, the Catskills or is with her mother, her clothes are always slightly more saturated than all the ones around her.
Yes.
And even, like, when she's, like, in extravagant situations, your eye always draws towards her. And it's such a clever use of, like, color and design. Mm-hmm. It's great.
It makes her stand out so that she's the main mm-hmm. focus. But also, it doesn't take away from the other costumes at all. Like, they're still accurate. They're still good. But mm-hmm. her costume is definitely making her the focus of everything in the show.
Exactly.
So I definitely agree with you on that. Another thing I want to mention is the hairstyling is actually mm-hmm. really good, too. I appreciate how they actually cared about that, because some shows, like historical shows, will just have hair down or in, like, a modern side part weird thing. And
yeah,
her hair actually, like, it actually shows her using the little whatever curls. I don't know what they're called again. Mm-hmm. But I just like that accuracy. It's so... satisfying, you know?
Yeah. I don't know much about, like, historical fashion like you do, but I definitely appreciate the nods to it.
Yeah, sorry if that was going a bit off topic. Oh, no, you're good. I love that aspect of the show.
Is there anything else on costumes you want to talk on before we do a little on cinematography?
Not really.
So, one of the things that I think really sets this show apart from, like, every other comedy mm-hmm. is how much thought goes into their cinematography, especially, like, their long shots are insane. My favorite one is the opening sequence in season 2, and it just, like, goes around the shop that she's working at the time so effectively and fun. And it just, like, it really shows so well how they do the entire show, because there is so much camera movement, but it never feels unnatural or, like, jerky. It just feels like you're along with the fast pace of the show, and it just, Everything is so planned out. Every cut is planned out. It's not just, you never see those bad cuts you see in comedy sometimes where you can tell they do like multiple takes of the same scene and their lips don't quite match up. I don't know if you've ever noticed that.
Yeah.
But when you learn about editing, you notice it all the time. So like the way they pay attention to cuts and sequences is just so cinematic that like every episode feels like a movie. And yeah.
I was going to mention that. The fact that they have long shots at all is just very impressive. You mentioned the department store episode, but I think there was a dancing scene in the Catskills where it was a long shot, and that was so satisfying. And also, it makes it feel almost more theatrical at some parts, which I find is really interesting. Theatrical or movie-like instead of show-like. And it just definitely brings a kind of elegance to the show that most other comedies don't, which is probably one of the reasons it's won so much Emmys and it's going to win more.
They definitely probably have the benefit of a budget compared to most comedies, but I mean, the only other show I can think does even close, like Scrubs has a lot of long shots and they move the camera kind of similarly, but in a completely different way. Yeah. And that show was recorded on film for network television, so it's a completely different thing. But yeah, if the Catskill scene is actually really good use of a long shot, because things like dance sequences, they feel cheap if they cut to like their feet and then their body, because you know it's not actually them. So yeah, it definitely makes it feel more cinematic and real using that technique for that sequence.
Exactly. Also, it gives more of a sense of, I don't know, I get a sense of what Mitch's life feels like when they do that. I kind of get, like, I don't know, it feels like you're going about the, like, duties of her everyday life and, like, having that energy that she has when you're following her with the camera like that, because she's so energetic and has such a bright personality, and it almost feels like you're in her world for a second.
It definitely defines, like, the scope of the space and just the busy New York atmosphere.
Exactly.
So, I think that's about all I wanted to say on that. Just to wrap a few things up, what, is there anything you're really hoping to see in season four?
First off, I'm hoping to see a season four. I think it's set to come out December. So that's good. That means they've already shot it and everything. COVID won't be a problem.
Thank the Lord.
Comes out sooner than I thought, so I'm very excited. But things to see in the new season, it's probably just more Susie Midge dynamic, because we missed a little bit out.
That's what I was gonna say.
A little bit of that, and then I don't know, I want them to keep following the same method that they're using right now to set up the seasons, because I really like it, and I just hope it stays consistent with the quality that it has right now. So
My main thing is, like you said, I want more Susie and Midge screen time, because it carries the full show. And was there anything else we need to talk about before we wrapped up?
I don't think so.
You don't think so? All right. So our next episode, I have no idea what we're doing, but we'll figure it out. You guys should be happy when we release episodes at this point.
Again, people can, like, DM us on Instagram or anything if they have suggestions, especially right now because there's nothing new really coming out. So suggestions are always welcome. We'll probably listen to them, maybe.
Like, there's a couple movies finally coming out, but I just don't see myself risking a movie theater right now as much as I would like to go. So I can't see, I would like to see things like Tenet, but I don't see it actually happening. So So I think that's all we have to say for this episode. So thanks for listening to this episode of Watchable.
This podcast is edited by Sophia. Our music is from purpleplanet.com, and our graphic is by Maria Hernandez.
If you enjoy listening, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It really helps us out.
Have an idea on what we should review next? Send us a message on Instagram, Twitter, or Tumblr at Watchable Media.
Join us next time when we discuss something.
Now go enjoy your day.